Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to an episode of Dueling Tangents.
It's a Wednesday edition of Dueling Tangents.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure because...
October?
Yes, yeah. It is October, I think. Who knows?
As far as you know.
As far as we know. As far as we know, it's an October Wednesday afternoon, and we are delighted to have you join us here on these airwaves. If you want to share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Boy, does that 2 o'clock time really creep up on us, Brian.
And it flies by, too. So,
it does fly by. We had a tornado warning slash watch going on earlier today, so that kind of threw off schedules.
It was really interesting to hear tornado sirens, and then, like, Johnny in the other room was having a meeting, and he just didn't, neither of them even noticed. They were like, these alerts.
I'm
like,
those October sounds.
I think they said we should probably seek shelter, and I believe one touchdown somewhere, but I think we're in the clear. We're
one touchdown
right
near Merton, which is kind of smack dab in the middle of WAUK 540 AM's listening pattern and in the Waukesha area. And there was also one a little bit farther southeast from there in Burlington. So there's definitely some severe weather to keep an eye on. We will update you if we see any more, but I believe for the most part, the storms have passed through the area, and it's kind of just dealing with the aftermath of those said storms.
All I can tell you is I hope it hit the open areas and not the inhabited areas. So
yes.
Once we find out more or hear anything more, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we will share that. And outside of the Waukesha station on WAUK, you may be listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison. I am broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. But you can also listen in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support, in Wisconsin Rapids on Locally Grown Radio, in Amory, Wisconsin on Lake Air, and in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, WRCE 1450 AM.
So many things to...
So many different ways to listen. I got to choose. I'm trying to vary it up a little bit for how to describe all of the different signals and call patterns each time.
What I can tell you is that you can get yourself the Civic Media app, right? Put it on your phone. And let's say you have an interactive thing like I do with my phone in my car. I can actually have the Civic Media app on my car and then choose any stream I want to.
There you go.
Pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, you can keep an ear on every single stream that we got on Civic Media's app as well.
Yeah, and now weather is up on all of the stations. So folks in Amory and Oshkosh, you'll know what the weather is now thanks to us.
There you go. You
can see weatherology, not us.
Yeah, but you can...
Anyway.
You can hear that fine program from Weatherology on those local stations, though. But Brian, as this Wednesday rapidly evolved with tornado warnings and news stories.
What's today? October?
Sounds good to me.
We also had some delays because of that severe weather of the Marquette University Law School polling that was released this afternoon. But now it has been dropped by Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School polling. Not great news for some of the candidates out there. And if anybody thought that this was going to be a runaway, I have news for you. This is a close race, and with the midterm elections 27 days from now are going to be tight.
I have a statement for that, that outcome of this poll.
Yeah.
And, I like, you can all quote me on this one and, put it in the paper.
That's Brian's reaction. Well, Brian, what gives you that major sigh? What brings that as your response to today's Marquette University Law School polling?
Because I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I like, even if you're like, yeah, I'm totally Republican and stuff, how do you look at Rojo and go, man, that guy's great
That is an excellent
question. Or is it one of those like Dana Loesch things where you're like, I don't care if he aborted a baby eagle, I'm voting for him because we want the Senate. And that's not really a way to run a railroad, but they also know that Rojo's pliable. He's clearly pliable. He's. But again, do you want a guy who thinks that what a clever ruse it is that I'm putting up an empty phone to my ear and then
I can't talk right now. I'm on the phone. I can see your phone right now, Senator. You're not on the phone.
You know, but he literally told you not to vote for him.
So Obamacare is still in place, and we've doubled the debt. I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
And he also said that he wouldn't run for a third term. And so one of the biggest shocking numbers from today's polling, still shocking to me, of those polled in today's Marquette University Law School poll, and we're going to get to some of the top line numbers here in a little bit, but this one jumped out to me, Brian. 13% of those polled, roughly 1 in 8 of those that participated in this round of Marquette Law School polling, did not have an opinion of Senator Ron Johnson. They did not have an opinion. And that is baffling to me that 1 in 8 of those polled that participated in this don't have an opinion of the incumbent senator Ron Johnson in 27 days out from when he's going to be up running for a third term.
Yeah, he's been in for 12 years. I really don't have an opinion about the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not even
knowing that you exist.
Or by keeping themselves ignorant, they can feel free to go and rubber stamp on the R because that's what people do, right?
That could be the case.
In that vein,
we have an op-ed piece that we're going to get to from the Journal Sentinel a little bit later in this show. And we're also going to be joined this show by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Going to come on, talk to us a little bit about his thoughts and reactions ahead of tomorrow's season finale or series finale, whatever way you want to look at it, for the January 6th House Select Committee hearings. That's going to be taking place across the Civic Media Network from noon on tomorrow. We don't really have a tentative
estimate. About 3.5.
Yes. So you're going to get some commentary from Kristen Bry and us fabulous commentators during that period. But we'll be broadcasting those hearings live tomorrow across Civic Media. Matt Rothschild will be joining us here on Dueling Tangents at 2:30. But if you want to share your phone calls, 844-967-2789, you can share your tangents with us between now and then. And then we might take some calls with Batman as well.
Possibly.
But here are the top line numbers. Let's get to the top line numbers because, yeah, Brian, that's why people are tuning in. And so of the individuals that participated in this round of Marquette University Law School polling, the reason why we're saying this is going to be a tight re-election or tight election to begin with for either Johnson and Barnes or Evers and Michaels is that among registered voters, Barnes and Johnson are tied at 47 points apiece.
Okay, so the unregistered voters are pushing Rojo ahead?
No, among likely voters, so those that are likely to vote, Johnson then has a large lead, 52-46. Among registered voters, it's a statistical tie, 47 points each, for Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson in the bid for U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin. But among likely voters, according to this poll by Marquette, 52% are going to vote for Ron Johnson and 46% are going to vote for Mandela Barnes. So he's got a 6-point lead. The incumbent senator has a 6-point lead among likely voters. Now, is that a enthusiasm gap? Is it what could explain that 6-point lead from registered voters? Statistical
all I know
tie?
Is that even people who care about this thing, if anyone calls them, a lot of people I know are so inundated with so many ads between them, they may just turn people off, and I think that's what Ron Johnson wants. But again, I don't get that. This reminds me of that old stupid trope where, you know, the nice guy never gets the girl kind of thing, but the mean guy goes and, you know, makes fun of her, and she's like, he's the best. Even though that's a stupid, outdated trope and, you know, slightly misogynistic, it's that stupid trope. Why is the guy who keeps saying stupid things over and over and over again, like,
why not gargle
this guy? And people are like, yeah, that's my guy. How does, like, there's nothing dumb enough that he can do. Like, I
to lose
same
support.
Thing with Trump. Yeah. Same thing with, like, they're all slowly realizing that I can do anything. J.D. Vance got his ass handed to him the other day, and I'm pretty sure people are like, yeah, it's all right. He's a vote for my team.
And that's a 50-50. That's a 50-50 election, too. That one is going to be tight in Ohio from all of the polling there.
Yeah. A.J. Pierzynski is a D-bag, okay? But if he's on your team, you love him, right? Well, to everybody else, he's a D-bag. You know what I mean? Like, oh, but that guy's on my team, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting
That
dynamic.
Is so much more strong than actual reason or logic or anything that anybody actually stands for, I believe, anymore.
Craig Gilbert, a fellow at Marquette Law, has a little bit of a different take on it. Rather than just cheering for laundry, it seems to be more that it has everything to do with turnout, folks. The explanation for the difference, the statistical tie, 47-47 for Johnson and Barnes among registered voters, changing to 52-46 in favor of Johnson over Barnes among likely voters, has everything to do with turnout. Because Craig Gilbert, looking at the numbers, in the new Marquette poll, Ron Johnson leads Mandela Barnes by 6 points among likely voters, those who say they are certain to vote, but they're tied among all registered voters. Why the difference? It's not really a turnout gap between the parties. Republican votes are only slightly more likely to say they are certain to vote than Dems are. So it's not an enthusiasm gap. Bigger explanation is that including independents, people who are uncertain about voting are a lot less supportive of Republican candidates in this poll than people who are certain about voting. In other words, Dems do better in this poll in higher turnout scenarios, and Republicans do better in lower turnout scenarios. Same pattern in the governor's race. Democrat Governor Tony Evers leads by 1 point over Tim Michaels among likely voters, but leads by a bigger margin, 5 points, among all registered voters. So this is what it's going to come down to, folks. It is going to come down to turnout, which we knew all along. And my biggest question is this poll adequately representing the turnout that is going to be anticipated this November?
Boy, I sure hope not. We use these polling as pretty as accurate as they come, but I sure hope they're wrong.
It's a snapshot. I think it is a snapshot, Brian. And we're going to talk about it more when we get back. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789.
He told you who he was.
Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian, and we are joined by our friend Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, also referred to in these parts as Batman for his moniker of being a vigilante for good governance here in Wisconsin. Matt, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. It's great to see you and Brian.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to have you and all of us back together at the same time.
It's a reunion time.
Yeah, it's been an interesting past couple of weeks, and we're grateful that you're able to come down to the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison this afternoon to join us, because you're putting on a little bit of an event. We're going to be broadcasting the January 6th hearings tomorrow, but you're going to be doing a little bit more. You got some plans to watch the hearings. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on tomorrow, Matt.
Yeah, we're co-sponsoring an event at Hawk's Bar and Grill, you know, who loves this station and advertises on this station. You guys do parties with Hawk. We're at Hawk's Bar and Grill at 325 State Street starting at noon tomorrow. It's a watch party for this January 6th committee hearing. We are going to be calling for accountability for all the Wisconsin accomplices in the January 6th coup attempt and criminal conspiracy, including Ron Johnson, including the 10 false electors, including the 15 Republican legislators who wrote Mike Pence on, of all days, January 5th to tell him not to accept the results from Wisconsin. And we're going to be urging folks to write Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and urge him to investigate, indict, prosecute these folks. No one should be above the law, especially people who are conspiring to overturn the will of the people here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And that sounds like a fantastic event. And we do love Hawk. And Hawk, if you're listening, it sounds like it's going to be an excellent party.
Man, that food is delicious.
I'm having lunch there.
There you go.
I also may be buying a first drink for people. We're thinking of a drinking game. A drinking game while we're watching January 6th. You get to take a drink every time the word coup is mentioned, or insurrection, or seditious. We also may be playing bingo, January 6th bingo, if we can come up with the cards in time by noon tomorrow. So it should be a lot of fun.
We used to.
It sounds like a dangerous attempt, though.
So here's a fun thing.
Per person.
For the Super Bowl, right? We get a hat, and everybody takes a dollar or whatever and puts it in the hat. And each person that is involved pulls out something, and it says one team field goal, one team touchdown, one team field goal, one team touchdown, and or turnover, or offensive touchdown, defensive, whatever. My point is different events that could happen. And whoever gets that event happening wins the pot. So my point is that you can get several of them. If you get several really good ideas, put them in a hat, and you know, you can draw one, and whoever, you know, that happens first. Oh, look, hey, they said subpoena. I win the whole pot.
So it's like a fast bingo game.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm for that. So, yeah, I'm trying to dream up these cards, and then, of course, I can't, you know, I can't hammer in a nail, much less make a bingo card, so I'd have to pass it on to a staff member to produce these in a hurry, but it's a
You'll
fun
be around
idea.
Bar people. I'm pretty sure that they'll...
I feel like there's got to be plenty of volunteers out there that might be interested in sharing their thoughts. If you've got an idea for Matt, text it to us, 844-967-2789.
Or if you've got a game you want to play, you can show up at Hawks tomorrow during the hearing.
Yeah, it's open to the public, and if you've got, you know, a drinking game word you want to have us know about, give us a call.
And to remind everybody, you can hear that entire hearing throughout the entire Civic Media empire.
Empire. I love that. It's better than a network. Empire is truly what we're going to build here. If you want to learn more, go to civicmedia.us. And you can check out all the different stations we have, all the fine programming we have across those stations. And you can sign up to learn more about where the next station may be. But Matt, we've got... What do you think the takeaways, the end results of tomorrow's hearings are going to be? Because we've been kind of referring to them here on Dueling Tangents as the series or season finale of the J6 hearings. How do you think they're going to conclude tomorrow afternoon or early evening?
I think the takeaway tomorrow is that Donald Trump himself was at the heart of this criminal conspiracy and this seditious conspiracy and this insurrection. And Donald Trump may have committed, that's the way they'll put it, we can say did commit, several serious crimes that he needs to be prosecuted for. And basically, it's going to be a layup for Merrick Garland. You know, this is the day before Merrick Garland Day. They are going to be presenting a bill of indictment, whether they call it that or not, that is going to show that Donald Trump committed some of the gravest offenses possible in a democracy short of treason, and that he needs to be held accountable for it. I think we'll hear that loud and clear from Liz Cheney and from Adam Kinzinger, who've got nothing to lose anymore. And they're going to lay it all out and say what a crisis it is for our democracy. I think Jamie Raskin will be doing some of that same talking.
Yeah, but what about Venezuela is really the what they'll come back with? I mean, seriously, like you can do this. We can put out this exact, like, this is exactly what happened. This is exactly when it happened. This is exactly the law which was broken. And this is exactly what you should be prosecuting for. I can't make this any more clear. I'll even give you a Venn diagram plus like 15 different sketches. If you want, I'll get Elmo out here to explain it for the kids. My point is that you can explain it over and over and over again. The actual facts can happen. Things could happen and people are still like, yeah, but he's a Republican, so I'm going to vote for him. Or it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm on this one side. It just, great. I love it to see indictments. I just don't know that that's going to move anything.
Well, I don't know if it's going to move the needle too much on public opinion. I mean, people are in their camps. They're wearing their jerseys. They're rooting for their team. I get that. But Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, doesn't care what team you're on. And if you violated some laws, he's got an obligation, a moral, a legal, a constitutional, a historical obligation to indict this guy. And give us some justice. I mean, is it true that no one's above the law in this country, or is that just a joke we're told over and over again in seventh grade and in high school and in college?
So you're saying the law should be separate from political gain?
It was supposed to be that way. And I just got to believe that after this election on November 8th, between November 8th and Christmas anyway, and I hope before Thanksgiving for that matter, that Merrick Garland is going to take this ball and run with it and come down with the indictments that are crucial. Because if Donald Trump wins again, I just saw an article somewhere, Washington Post, I think, they gamed out what might happen if Donald Trump wins again. And it's not a pretty picture, let me put it that way. Racism would accelerate, fear, the risk of civil war would accelerate, and our democracy would, could possibly just go totally down the tubes. But remember, it almost went down the tubes on January 6th. I mean, if Trump was a more agile coup plotter, I mean, he'd be, you know, he'd be dictator today.
If he had succeeded in anything in his life, the only thing he's really succeeded in is getting these people to give him money. That's his only success in all of his life.
If he was a fitter man, he would have walked up there himself with that group of insurrectionists from the ellipse on near the White House to the Capitol. But it's going to be interesting because we're seeing from today's Marquette University Law School polling, Matt, that it is a close race here in Wisconsin. And I think that any number of things over the next 27 days are going to tip the scales one way or another. And I think tomorrow's hearing could have a very large impact still, because I haven't been able to see all the crosstabs. It got delayed because of the tornado warnings in southeastern Wisconsin, and so there was less time for me to be able to review the Marquette Law School polling before we had to hop on the air here today. If you want to hear from Charles Franklin himself, he will be joining the Devil's Advocates this afternoon, I believe in the 4 o'clock hour, and so you can hear more about that and all of the breakdown of the polling. But in recent polling from some of the national outlets, there was indicators that when it came to Senator Ron Johnson and independent voters, because independent voters are going to be the deciding factor here, they are the ones that are not necessarily paying as closely to the races right now, and they're going to swing one way or not the other in the next 27 days. And among those independent voters polled, I believe in a YouGov poll, or it was a different national outlet, it may have been Morning Consult, but for those concerned about democracy and what occurred on January 6th, Ron Johnson was losing those independents like 8-2, like 80% to 20%. And so tomorrow's hearings, I think, could have a very large impact on close races like we see here in Wisconsin. At least that's my takeaway. What's your takeaway, Matt?
Yeah, you know, Ron Johnson is one of the bingo names and drinking words in our drinking game for tomorrow at the Hawks Bar and Grill, 325 State Street, for the watch party. To the extent that Mandela Barnes can keep linking Ron Johnson to January 6th, he benefits from converting some of these independent voters who don't know which way they're going to go toward him. These independent voters aren't among those likely voters. So he's losing them, unlikely voters. If he gets more of these independent voters, that might get him across the finish line. And, you know, he's a smart guy, Mandela Barnes. You saw him punch back on January 6th in that first debate, which he just, you know, beat the living crap out of Ron Johnson on. And he kept just giving him a quick left jab to the face on January 6th, and Ron Johnson didn't know how to respond to it, except to say, oh, there are all these riots, you know, with Black Lives Matter. That was his deflection every single friggin' time. It was pathetic. The most pathetic thing Ron Johnson said, though, was on climate change. Do you believe in climate change, what we should do about it? Yeah, I believe in climate change. Climate has always been changing. It's changing now, so I believe in climate change. What an idiot. I mean, that was just the most embarrassing answer of all
time. And his give-up to just say, well, There's nothing we can do about it. So why don't we waste money?
Yeah, we're not going to spend a single cent on it because there's nothing we can do about it. As if there's nothing we can do about it.
You know what? People are going to murder people anyway. Why bother, you know, having anything to do? No consequences for it.
Insurrection plots are going to plot themselves. There's nothing we can do to stop the insurrection.
Nothing we can do. We can just hoard our money and screw everybody
else. And on the insurrection itself, he just kept giving the lame excuse. Oh, it just was a couple minutes, at most an hour. I wasn't really involved in this thing. I didn't know what was going on. One of my staff members handled it, whatever. But what was going on was he wanted to handle Wisconsin's false slate of electors, and Michigan's for that matter, hand deliver them to Pence within minutes of the start of the Electoral College.
Because if it was a staffer, that staffer would have been fired, and then nothing would be heard from it.
Oh, Oh, then he would have just got hired by the re-election campaign, like he's hiring one of the fraudulent electors themselves on his bid for re-election.
That would be Pam Travis.
Yeah, and she's on the payroll for the Johnson re-election campaign. And so tomorrow's watch party, going to be at Hawks, beginning at noon. We're going to have some interesting dynamics of either bingo or some other kind of game to go along with the hearings. Do you think people are going to pay attention? I'm surprised that this final one wasn't planned for, say, a prime time like there were for past hearings, Matt. Do you think that that's going to be a little bit of a hindrance with the fact that this one's slated for noon? Or where do you believe when it comes to those independent, less likely to vote voters, are they going to be able to catch the information tomorrow that's coming out? Or should this have been in prime time?
I think you're going to see some fireworks from Liz Cheney, and you'll see the Liz Cheney video on the nightly news. You'll see it on social media, and it'll get a big splash that way. So I don't think it matters that much what time the main thing's airing.
And I was going to second that by saying I think that'll give everybody on the nightly news time to cut it up and give you the problem is are they going to give you the well, this Cheney said this was, you know, and get the wrong, completely wrong set, or you're going to go and give the bombshell, and that's the thing, because that's the stuff that, you know, a lot of people still watch their nightly news. They still trust their local broadcasters, and they still watch their local news. I know my mother-in-law does for sure.
Well, and then the other dynamic would be, even if it is a primetime address, the national media doesn't necessarily know how to talk about it. When President Biden gave his address in Philadelphia about the rise of semi-fascism here in America, rather than actually talk about the speech or carry the speech live, they just discussed about Biden's tone rather than the content of this speech. And so I don't believe that the time matters either. I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on it.
Yeah, I think it's going to get a big bounce, actually, though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something you're going to want to listen to across the Civic Media Network. Tomorrow, January 6th, House Select Committee, final public hearing of that committee's responsibilities. It's going to be airing out across Civic Media beginning at noon. You'll get some drop-in commentary from Kristen Bry, from Brian or myself as well. And the Devil's Advocates will break it down for you from 4 to 6 p.m. across Civic Media tomorrow. But right now, we're joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We got another segment coming up. We're going to talk about some of the other good governance aspects here in Wisconsin. Maybe get to some phone calls, 844-967-2789.
The pen is truly mightier than the sword.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm totally Brian. That's totally Luke.
Oh, yeah.
And this is totally Dio. I wanted to ask Batman about dark money. And I figured he's a rainbow in the dark when it comes to dark money. And I wanted him to maybe just, if you couldn't, I was talking with Kristen Bry a little bit ago, and she invited me on her show, and we were having a conversation about dark money and how basically it's uniquely accessible in Wisconsin. And we were also talking about how campaigns, I wasn't completely sure what happens to campaign money after the campaign is, let's say, lost. You know what I mean? I wasn't completely sure, and someone was asking, a texter was asking, can a candidate actually get paid, or do they actually draw a salary while they're running for anything? Can that even happen? How does that even, and with our dark money, can that happen?
Well, I don't know about the dark money because it's hard to trace, and how they spend it is hard, but technically a candidate who's raising money for his or her campaign can't use that money for personal gain or for a salary. That's my understanding of it. I'm not a lawyer, so maybe there's a lawyer out there who wants to correct me. But the dark money is just pernicious in so many ways. That's one way it's pernicious. The other way, the main way, is we just don't know who's behind these dark money groups. I mean, we see their ads on TV. They're as effective as the other ads that tell you who actually explicitly to vote for or not vote for. But these don't use those magic words, but they're telling you to call you know, Mandela Barnes, or call, you know, Governor Evers and tell him to stop being such a horrible human being. Well, you know, you're telling people not to vote for him. So let's be real about that. But we don't know, you know, who's splattering this mud all over our screens all the time. And that's the real problem.
And the biggest problem, too, is that they, in my opinion, I guess not the biggest problem, but a huge aspect of it is you get these glowing names like Wisconsin, the Wisconsinites for your a better tomorrow, today, or some weird name like that, where it's like it's all convoluted. They can just name themselves whatever they want, and they sound like rainbows, but really it is a front for that dark money to be able to go out there and say whatever they want.
Yeah, it's just a mask, and it's a joke, you know. Wisconsinites for cheddar cheese, or you know.
Yeah, you know, people for rainbows. Back in my day, they used to name them something, you know, something like this.
People against goodness and normalcy.
That way, you know, they're bad people.
That would be truth in advertising, but these are like badgers for eternal vigilance or eternal victory.
Well, and in this vein, we had one of these groups, not necessarily, I think we know who founded it, former Attorney General Bill Barr, Karl Rove, but it's right, RITE, Restoring Integrity and Truth or Trust in Elections, one of those T's.
Sounds like a football coach going, yeah, let's go get them, the HITS principle.
And that's what they named them, this organization. And it's suing local election officials around the country ahead of November's midterm elections. And here in Wisconsin specifically, they sued in Waukesha County Circuit Court, with that court being overseen in this particular case by former Republican Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, Brad Schimmel.
Dark money. Speaking of dark money.
Prince of Darkness.
And in that court decision, Brad Schimmel just threw out the process that Wisconsinites have been using for years, came to light during the primary when several candidates dropped out with their names still on the ballot. But the process of ballot spoiling. Do you think this is something kind of that we need to be keeping an eye on because it's nefarious, or do you think this is just chaos that they're trying to cause around the process of absentee voting between now and November 8th?
Oh, it's just total team chaos. It's just, you know, get that PR machine going and get the propaganda smoke out there to make any voter in Wisconsin start to wonder, you know, is everything, you know, going according to Hoyle? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to discourage turnout, too, with all this negativity. And they know if they discourage turnout, they do better. I mean, that's what the polls were showing today from Marquette Law School, too. If they can just get their people out, they think they can win. God forbid that regular registered voters who may not vote in every election, you know, want to go out and vote, then the Democrats would win. They don't want that to happen.
Are you saying they're not really that appealing to newer voters?
No. I mean, it's been a Republican doctrine for decades that the fewer people who turn out to vote, the better Republicans do.
Well, the more likely it is to be able to predict and control which of those voters are going to go to the polls. So, yeah, lower turnout. And that was Craig Gilbert's takeaway from today's Marquette University Law School polling, essentially showing that this poll model indicates that if there's low turnout, Republicans, including Senator Johnson and Republican challenger Tim Michaels, are going to fare better for the election. But if a higher turnout was there, it's more favorable to the Democratic candidates, incumbent Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor in his bid for U.S. Senate, Mandela Barnes. And it leads to an interesting point, Matt, and I kind of want to wrap up on this note, is we have a lot of split-ticket voters here in the state of Wisconsin. Do you believe that that's ultimately a likely turnout that could occur on November 8th, that we get, say, both incumbents reelected here in the state of Wisconsin? Do you think that both Tony Evers and Ron Johnson could see reelection on November 8th?
I mean, it's possible. The races are too close to call. I think Mandela Barnes really turned a corner during that debate and turned a corner during his, you know, defend a woman's right to make a decision on these very difficult personal health care decisions on that tour around the state. I think the ad from the American Federation of Teachers about Social Security and Medicare and how Ron Johnson's going to take that away from people. And if you're a senior citizen, you should be aware. I think that's a very effective ad. I think Mandela Barnes is likely to do well in the debate tomorrow. And this is going to make the race even closer.
Yeah, it's. I think Marquette Law School's poll, one other thing, and again, I haven't been able to look at the crosstabs yet, but I would love to see how Charles Franklin and the poll team was looking to be able to identify interest in, say, those individuals that are going to be most affected by the state's antiquated 173-year-old abortion law and Senator Johnson and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes' stance on that. Because with the Republican legislature that we know is almost baked into the cake for the next session, Robin Voss's maps made that so. But we could see action with Roe v. Wade being codified at the federal level and protecting Wisconsinites that are losing out on that right. And so I'm going to go dive into the crosstabs shortly here and see. But I have a feeling that it's an area where this Marquette poll maybe isn't reflecting the actual on-the-ground feelings around that issue.
Yeah, abortion, Medicare, Social Security, those are the winning issues for Mandela Barnes right now, and maybe January 6th, too.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We really want to thank Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign stopping by to join us this afternoon. We've got Matt McNeil coming up next. Charles Franklin will be joining the Devil's Advocates, which, Brian, you're going to be shaking off that rust, going to be behind the wheel for that one.
It's going to be hard, but I'll figure it out.
But Charles Franklin is going to be joining the Devils. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow. Tune in then.
You are my number one guy.
I don't even know my own address.